This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3781, from Monday, the 30th of January, 2023. Today's show is entitled, The Jewel Thief. It is the 20th show of Andrew Conway, and is about 13 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, using the Jewel Thief to suck energy out of flat batteries.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio people. This is McNallow, also known as Andrew, and today I'm going to tell you about a delightful little circuit called the Jewel Thief. Now, the Jewel Thief allows you to extract energy from an otherwise flat battery. And, more remarkably than that, using a flat battery, so like say I'm using a AA battery, it was 1.5 volts when it started out its life. It's now down at around about 1 volt. And even at 1 volt, the Jewel Thief circuit is more than capable of allowing you to light up a 2 volt LED, or indeed a string of LEDs of maybe even higher voltage than that. So the magic of this circuit is that it's so simple, as well as being able to use a flat battery to power an LED that requires a higher voltage. And the secret of the circuit is very fast switching. So the LED isn't in fact on all of the time, but it's on enough of the time that you can't really tell that it's flickering on and off. In fact, the circuit I've built, as far as I can tell, it's flickering on and off at 100 kilohertz, which is, you know, 100,000 times a second. I'm not going to pick that up with my eye, certainly. So it only uses four components, the battery and four components. So I have a flat battery, and it's worth noting that when I say a battery is flat, you will not be able to use it to power most things, but of course flat is relative. When a battery is exhausted, it's exhausted for the particular task that you put it to. For example, lighting up an LED torch, running a radio, running a Bluetooth mouse, I got that right in the end. Once the voltage goes too low, without some jiggery pokery trickery, you can't use it anymore. But if what you really just want to do is light an LED, there is a way to coax remaining energy out of the battery. Indeed, something like 50% of the energy in the battery is still there. It's just coming out at too low a voltage. So if you can put it to another use, that would be great. So let me just describe the circuit. So the four components are a resistor. The one I've got in front of me is a 10 kilo ohm resistor, but I used a 1 kilo ohm resistor to start with, and that would work too. I've got a transistor, an NPN transistor. It's a BC548, so it's a totally bog standard transistor, nothing fancy about that at all. A yellow LED, I guess this would work with almost any colour of LED. And the fourth and most exciting component is my self-wound inductor. Now, this is not an ordinary inductor. An ordinary inductor is essentially just a coil of wire around a ferromagnetic core, usually. This has a ferromagnetic core. It's in the shape of a torus, and most inductors will look like that. But the clever thing about this inductor is it's got two windings, one that goes one way around the torus and another that goes the opposite way around the torus, and that's the key to how this thing works. It's actually quite easy, although fiddly, to wind one of these yourself. So what I did, I had a dimmer switch for my kitchen light. It was a mains voltage dimmer switch that eventually linked in through some LED driver circuits to all the lights in my kitchen. The switch on it became soft, so I had to replace it. But I don't like to throw things out, so I kept it thinking, well, it might come in handy one day, and indeed it did, because when I opened it up, I found it had an inductor. So I dismantled the inductor. Now, a normal inductor just has, as I say, one winding of wire around the ferrite core. This is it's a ferrite bead, so it's quite large, actually. It's about a centimetre across, maybe half a centimetre deep, and it's like a donut. Some ferromagnetic material. So I removed, just unwound by hand, sat watching some television program. It took me a few minutes to unwind about a meter worth of the wire that was wound onto the inductor. Then I took this wire and folded it over. So I have two three ends, and the other end is now a fold where the wire is folded in half. I anchored the two free ends by wrapping it around the ferrite bead once, and then proceeded to thread through the looped end, the folded end, repeatedly until I had windings that went all the way around the torus. Once I'd done that, I cut the wire at the fold, so I now have four ends, and using a multimeter, the next thing I did was I used a bit of sandpaper to scrape off the enamel, because it's all, the wire's insulated, it would work as an inductor if it was just bare copper wire. It's not, it's enameled wire. So at the ends, the four ends that I had, I used sandpaper to scrape off that enamel so I could make an electrical contact. And then what I did was I just joined two bits of wire that weren't connected to each other, and I used a multimeter to figure out which two ends. It doesn't matter which two ends, as long as they're not showing continuity in the multimeter. So I took those two ends and joined them together, and that will be the north, the positive end of my the inductor I'll use in the circuit. Now, it's not an ordinary inductor, so it's got a common positive and it's got two negative ends, if you like. And so what you do is you take the positive end and you connect that to your flat battery, so the positive terminal of your flat battery. One of the two negative ends, one of them gets connected to a resistor, and then that resistor gets connected to the base of the transistor. So the base of the transistor, if you imagine it, is like the tap that you can turn, so you can turn the transistor on and off, which will be crucial in a moment. So the base of the transistor controls whether that current can flow through the rest of the transistor. The other negative wire that comes out the inductor gets connected to the collector of the transistor, and the third and final leg of the transistor, the emitter, gets connected to the negative terminal of the battery. And you also then take your LED and connect the positive leg of the LED to the collector, which is also connected to one of the ends of the negative ends of the inductor, and that's the positive end of the LED. The negative leg of the LED gets connected to the emitter and to 0 volts, or the negative terminal of the battery. Look at a circuit diagram, it'll be easier than that. But this is the crucial bit. So what happens is, when you connect all this up, current will flow from this flat battery, and it only needs a small amount, 1 volt is plenty, through a resistor, 1 kilo ohm, 10 kilo ohm, doesn't matter. A tiny little current will flow into the base of the transistor, and then the transistor, after a short delay, will turn on. When the transistor turns on, it will allow current to flow through the other winding. So one winding of the inductor, remember, goes to the base of the transistor to open it up. The other winding comes down through to the collector, and at first the current can't flow that path because the transistor is off. But once some current flows into the base through the other winding in the inductor, then the current can flow through the transistor, and at very, very low resistance. So very quickly, a much larger current will start to flow through the transistor, and a much larger current will start to flow through the other winding of the inductor. And because the two windings of the inductors share the same core, and they're wound in opposite directions, what this does is it stops the current flowing into the base of the transistor. So what happens? Well, when that current stops, the transistor shuts off, the tap shuts, and then that main current path suddenly closes off. And this is the key property of an inductor. If you rapidly change the current flowing through an inductor, you get a spike in voltage. So the inductor equation is voltage equals inductance times rate of change of current with time. So if you very suddenly switch off the current, you'll get a spike in voltage. And so even though you've only got a 1 volt battery, you can easily produce 2 volts, 3 volts, 4 volts, or potentially very large voltages actually for a brief time, and that allows you to light the LED, which is connected across the collector and emitter of the transistor. And as I said at the beginning, this happens extremely quickly. All of that takes place, say, 100,000 times a second. Depends on the value of the inductor. I've got quite a high value of inductor, just because of what came out of the dimmer switch. And to a lesser extent, it depends on the resistor. But really, the switching, as far as I understand it, is mostly dependent on the transistor and the timings inside the transistor. Now, this transistor that I'm using is not really designed for switching, and if you look at its datasheet, it doesn't tell you anything about the timings. Other transistors, MOSFETs, they do tell you stuff about timings, but for this BC548, no, you don't get any information because it's not really intended for that. It doesn't matter, it just works. Now, I have tried to understand the equations that govern this, and it's for such a simple circuit with four components, it's deceptively simple, because the equations are actually quite complex. So I actually went right back to Maxwell's equations. If you have done any physics, you might have encountered Maxwell's equations, and I was able to derive the inductor equation in this case. And for those of you that are interested, it looks very much like the usual inductor equation. So the voltage drop across the inductor is equal to the inductance times the rate of change of the difference of the two currents that are flowing in the two windings of the inductor. But actually, to try and model what's going on in the circuit using that equation is difficult because, as I said earlier, it isn't the inductor and the resistor that is where the magic is happening. Well, some of the magic's happening in the inductor. A lot of the magic is happening in the transistor. And transistors are non-linear devices, and if you don't have documentation and the time delays involved, I don't see really how you can model the jewel thief in any simple way. You can certainly model it, but it's not simple. But it doesn't really matter, because if you want to just light up an LED with a flat battery, well, a jewel thief is certainly the way to go. Now, if you would like to build your own, I highly recommend about a half hour video by Clive Mitchell, or Big Clive as he's known in YouTube. He is the person who coined the term jewel thief, which is a lovely little pun. And but the circuit itself is much older. It I think maybe the first patents are almost 90 years ago. But those components are very different from the ones we would use today and the ones I've got in front of me. And I think Clive references a letter in a magazine that was published in 1999. But anyway, for those details and for a lovely clear description on how to make it and how it works as well, do refer to Big Clive's video, which is a link I'll put in the show notes. I hope you found that interesting. Bye-bye.
Have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.